The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is there an unpardonable sin? What did Jesus mean when he mentioned blaspheming against the Holy Spirit in Mark 3? That is our topic today here on Grace in Focus. So glad you've joined us for this radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can find out more about us by going to faithalone.org. There is a store, there are many articles which you can read, and you can subscribe to our daily blogs. Find us at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
We had a good question and a good point asked by Sam. Sam had heard one of our episodes which talked about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I think it was when Bob and I were talking about Mark chapter 3, where Jesus is talking to the scribes and he is addressing them after they accuse him of casting out demons by the power of Satan, that he's possessed by Satan. And in Mark chapter 3, the Lord says, "Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation." What Bob and I said, just as a summary on that, is that this is directed to the nation of Israel, that the religious leaders here and the scribes, Jesus came to them in the power of the Spirit. He was baptized in the Spirit when he began his ministry. He came to them in that power, and the miracles that he did was done in the power of the Spirit, and they were attributing that to Satan. And as long as the nation did that, they could not be forgiven. In other words, he's not the Christ. He's not the one who's bringing in the kingdom through this power of the Holy Spirit. He's a liar. So they don't believe in him. And when John the Baptist came and when Jesus came, he was offering, they were offering the forgiveness of sins to the nation so that the kingdom could come as they repented of their sins. John's baptism was for the forgiveness of sins. Well, if you reject that message, then there's no place to have the forgiveness of sins and the kingdom is not coming. And as long as a person believes that, they're subject to eternal condemnation. They can never have the forgiveness of sins if they reject that Jesus is the Christ. In this case, that he'd come to the nation of Israel. And so it was a rejection of that message and who he was. Okay, and so what we were arguing there is that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not a sin. And this is the way it's so often taken.
And it's not a sin?
Well, no, it's not a sin as it is so often taken to mean that once you do it, you can't be saved.
Right.
That's what I meant. It's not a sin. In other words, there's not a particular sin that says, oh, I've committed that sin. So even if I believe in Jesus for eternal life, I can't be saved because I committed this sin in the past. Or, and Sam talks about this, what if I commit it in the future?
That's
what if there's this sin and I go, oh, okay, well, I have eternal life, but boy, if I ever blaspheme the Holy Spirit, whatever that means, then I'll lose salvation.
We were talking before we started recording, and there's another thing about this conversation that I think is interesting is that within Satanists, as part of some of their rituals, when they get together, they will purposely do what they consider to be blaspheming the Holy Spirit in order so that they will not be savable, as a way to be like, haha, now I'm unsavable.
I've heard people say, I used to be a Satanist, but I can't be saved because I did this. And Sam,
which is ridiculous.
Right.
The point that we're trying to make.
You
are still, I hate to break it to the Satanists who've blasphemed the Lord, but you're still savable.
Yes.
You can still be saved.
Anyone who believes in Jesus for eternal life receives it as a free gift that can never be lost, no matter what sin they've committed in the past.
That's right.
And no matter what sin they may commit in the future. And what Bob and I argued in Mark 3 was, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was attributing the works that Christ did in the nation when he came to them as coming from Satan. And it was a rejection of his message. So it wasn't some magical formula that they, you know, that they said to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I don't know what the Satanists do when they do that. But Sam brought up a good point mm-hmm. here that I don't think Bob and I mentioned. And that is that if it's true, as most people think of, that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is a sin that keeps me from being saved or will cause me to lose my eternal salvation, then salvation is by works.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a sin out there that I can commit that'll send me to hell, no matter if I've believed in Jesus for eternal life, mm-hmm. then I have to avoid that sin.
That's
I have to be careful not to commit that sin. And therefore, there's a work.
It's based off
here.
Of me not right. doing something.
Right. So right. I've got to avoid that particular sin or that temptation.
That's right.
Or I guess we could even say that if I did it in the past, mm-hmm. then my work keeps me from being saved. So therefore, we could say that eternal salvation, even in that case, is the result of works.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
There are people who have other examples of this. For example, if you try to commit suicide, there are people who think, let's say you failed, you know, you tried to commit suicide, but then you failed. They'll say, well, now I won't be in heaven because I committed this unforgivable sin. So this idea that there are certain sins that are unforgivable and that if you commit them, that you will automatically go to hell no matter what, is not limited to just blaspheming, but there are others that will be added on. And what we're saying is no.
There's no sin.
There is no sin that will exempt you from the offer of eternal life as a free gift by those who simply believe in him for it.
Now, you did a blog that addresses a corollary of this. Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, just a couple things to, I hope, encourage anybody who maybe has struggled with that fear of just thinking, well, when I was a young and dumb, maybe 15-year-old Satanist, you know.
Or we played whatever. With the Ouija board.
Yeah, we played with the Ouija board and I blasphemed the Spirit. We have examples in the scripture of people who blasphemed the Lord and yet later came to faith. For example, in 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul says, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, he says, I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor, but he later goes on to say in verse 16 that he became a pattern to those who would believe in Jesus for everlasting life. And so prior to coming to faith, he blasphemed the Lord, and yet we see that he does indeed later come to faith and became an apostle.
Paul was certainly guilty of what happened in Mark 3.
That's right, yes.
You know, if you would have asked Paul before, and I'm sure as zealous as he was for Judaism, mm-hmm. he would have been at the front of the line saying Jesus was a deceiver. So when Jesus came and the religious leaders said, well, he's doing these miracles only because Satan's with him, that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit in mm-hmm. Mark 3, Paul would have said, that's exactly right. He's either possessed by Satan or he is a deceiver. So he was denying the work of the Spirit that Christ was doing in his ministry. So Paul was guilty mm-hmm. of this very sin.
That's right.
And I was a blasphemer.
That's right.
But certainly he believed later. And the same thing in Acts, it says many of the religious leaders believed, you know, they came to mm-hmm. faith afterwards. Well, what changed? Well, before they would have agreed with the scribes of Mark 3. But probably what happened was the resurrection,
mm-hmm.
maybe the day of Pentecost. There were things that they saw. So before they blasphemed the Holy Spirit, but then they believed and they received eternal life.
Yeah. Also in the blog that I wrote, I gave the example of the thief on the cross. We're told in the Gospels that both of the thieves blasphemed the Lord. But then we know later on that the one thief came to faith, and the Lord says, you'll be with me in paradise. And so clearly a blasphemer can be saved. And I also want to add,
well, you know, on that thief on the cross, it's not recorded. You wonder what he said.
I know.
You know, as he was sitting there, he rejected that Jesus was the Christ.
That's right.
And I assume that he had heard about the things that Jesus had done, but he considered them a lie at that time,
right,
before he became a believer. So he was attributing the work of the Holy Spirit to a lie as well. Mm-hmm. Whatever he had heard about him, or, you know, my guess is that people at the cross who were blaspheming him and mocking him were telling him, oh, he saved others. Well, yeah, they were saying he healed others. He did these other things now, but he can't save himself. And so the thief on the cross at first did that as well.
That's
like,
right,
yeah, those things that you did to save others, that was all a lie. Or, yeah, Satan was working. Who knows what he said?
That's right.
But he blasphemed what the Spirit had done in Christ's ministry.
Mm-hmm. This is a whole, we could probably do a whole other episode on this, but a follow-up to it, I think, is that there are believers in the scriptures who are shown as blaspheming the Lord. Going back to that passage in 1 Timothy, right after that, Paul talks about the two false teachers and that they were blaspheming the Lord. Now, they're believers, and there's a number of reasons why that's the case, but even if you see them as unbelievers, what's interesting is that Paul says we're going to deliver them over to Satan so that they may learn not to blaspheme. Well, if they blaspheme and they're going to hell no matter what, why do they need to learn to not blaspheme?
Right.
What would be the purpose in that?
And let's just assume that part of their false teaching involved attributing whatever the Spirit did to a lie, or, you know, blaspheming in the Holy Spirit. You're absolutely right. Why do they need to learn not to blaspheme if they're condemned to hell and they have no hope whatsoever?
Right.
Right. And so what we see here is, this is just one example, and usually there are certain sins that are singled out. You mentioned one, suicide. Another one is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. We say these are the big three or the big four, however many we have. But again, there is no sin that we can ever commit that will either keep us from receiving eternal life when we believe in Jesus or cause us to lose it later. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't exist.
That's
right. As Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you believe in me, you'll never thirst again, even if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit later.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Sam, we hope this helped, and thank you for your contribution to this discussion as well. And until next time, folks, keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, if only a few people are destined for eternal salvation, why would you risk having children? We hope you join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.